Hi everyone, Phil Pringle here, the host of C3 Church Global Podcast. What a pleasure to be with you today. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for jumping on. Hit that subscribe button and make sure you rate us at the end of the podcast so that we can know how we're doing and we can improve. And let us know any subjects you'd like us to cover and we'll do our best. Today, we're hearing from John Ford, CEO and founder of The One Center. This is a marketing group. This was an episode that was originally recorded as an Instagram Live. I hope you love it.
Well, it is a great joy to have John Ford with us today. Morning,
morning,
John.
Morning, Pastor Phil. Morning, Pastor Phil. Great to be here.
and John and Monica have been good friends for many years now. It must be 15, 20 years, John?
Yeah, it's getting on that way, 15 years, I think. Fantastic.
And it would be. In that time, I've known you to, well, I've been with you as you've walked through one of the worst circumstances that a business can have where it just folds up and finishes. Mm. And then I've, you know, seen you rebirth that in a very real way. And can you talk to us a little bit before we go any further, though? Let's explain what it is The One Center is. And I could, but you'd be better positioned to do that than anybody.
No problem. Well, my business, The One Center, I started it back in 1999. And we are a consultancy that provides strategy and all kinds of creative solutions, as well as media to organizations. Companies which are creating new products or services, they might be new ventures or even big companies, global brands. So we work locally and internationally. As you said, we had a bit of a hit in the global financial crisis in 2008-09. We were doing a lot of work overseas and we had some, obviously the financial crisis hit and a lot of our clients went down, but we had a very big exposure with one of our clients in the Middle East. It was just a perfect timing or a perfect storm, and it wiped us out. At that time, we were a pretty fast growth business for 10 years, growing at about 50% year on year on average. We had terrific client portfolio. You know, we went from 80 people to 60 to 40 to 20 to zero very, very quickly as we were sort of forced to make the business, put it into administration right in the depths of the GFC. So then about a year later, after a lot of prayer and encouragement actually from yourself, Pastor Phil, and some incredible connections through the church, which ended up giving us a lifeline and more than that, actually a real... We got an investor who came in and said, we'll back you to get going again. And we did that. And 10 years later, here we are, we've grown the business. We've stayed pretty lean and mean. We've learned a lot through that period. But we've rebuilt our client base. We're working internationally again. It's an incredible story, actually. I mean, not because I'm sort of... I'm not gifting myself with that, but it has definitely been a journey of the power of God and the blessing of God and the community that he puts you in.
Incredible.
The way he works.
Yeah, it's amazing. John, can I just rewind and then we'll get into I want to, you know, make sure that we ask a question that you are well positioned to answer about how companies are going to best strategize coming out of COVID-19. So I want to talk about that, but towards the end of this interview. Right now, let's just rewind. And can I ask you, what was the worst experience, the part of finding the business? And there might be several of the worsts, I'm sure there are, but it's such an unpleasant time and such a dark time for a lot of people. They don't think they're going to get through. And I know of businesses that have had to close right in at this time, and some of them very big businesses who had a lot of leverage and a lot of exposure like yourself. And so what in your What were you doing in your, and what was the darkest moments, and what did you do at that time to keep yourself walking through?
Well, I guess it was two very distinct places for me. One was the pressure of having to act. And I knew that when I made a decision, for example, specifically to go into administration, which I fought against for a long time, it just felt the whole world was against me at the time. Obviously, it wasn't, but it just felt like every single thing was going wrong. And there was an enormous amount of pressure to make a decision, which I ended up doing. And then the fallout from that decision was the second part, which was, I think when things are going wrong, a lot of stuff happens around you. It seems to come at once. People desert you. You get a lot of criticism, some of it fair, some of it completely unfair. You're faced also with the personal loss and issues that's going to fall through to your family. Like most people in business or even in positions carry a lot of pressure, but then when it actually faces taking you home and causing you, your whole family to get blown out, that creates a whole other thing. So the second phase was really facing the tribunal, actually, of people who were coming in for the kill. I mean, where there were some incredible things that happened in that time. People made stuff up. But I just decided to stay silent through that time and not to fight it, because there wasn't really much I could do. There was such a wave of difficulty, such a wave of antipathy towards me particularly, but also people were hurting, and I understood that. They'd lost their jobs, people owed money. There was a whole lot of stuff around that which gave good reason for the situation. But I decided to try and not seek, I guess, vengeance, if you like, or put up my case for it, but just to go through it. And so those are distinct phases, facing and letting go, and then actually just you know, dealing with all the attack, really, that came after that. But, you know, it does settle down. And like people, it was very complex. I mean, it's very hard for anybody to communicate to another person the complexities of difficult situations, which a lot of people are in now, because so many things are linked. It's like a domino effect. And so making decisions isn't just about, okay, let's cut and run or let people go or whatever. There's always a web of connections to things and decisions that have to be made. So that's where people start to get really down and heavy.
The tougher decisions of letting people go, I mean, these are never easy decisions to make, and then dealing with your own emotional life. I mean, you remained, one thing I did know about you, though, is that you remained committed to Christ, and you remained you retained spiritual practices in your life, such as prayer, church attendance, worshiping, giving as you could, and I, the John Ford I've known and have come to know over the years is not like a ruthless, hard-nosed business person. He also has a very compassionate and you know, a softer side, if you like, plus Christian values. But is also a good leader, creative leader. So when you mix all that together, you find yourself with you're more susceptible to some of the feelings that can overwhelm people. I've known people who they think the only way out is to finish everything, to take their life, and that should never become an option in, I don't believe, in a person's life. Even if the thought is there, there needs to be a community around us that encourage us and love us and accept us unconditionally. And that's what the church is meant to be.
Absolutely. That was my crystalline experience of the church. Total suspension of judgment, commitment to me and my family, a place of safety and nurturing, but also answers. I think the thing is that when you're in a church community and you're with God, God can move in any circumstance. Obviously, He's sovereign, but He brings answers which are completely illogical, somewhat out of the blue, through connections and through introductions, through just through through moments of prayer and thoughtfulness. I think the thing that I did in the really bad bit was I accepted there was no way in my own steam I was going to get out of this. I had three little kids under five, and I'm not trying to paint a picture to feel sorry for myself, but see the situation. I lost my home. A friend had given me their house, which was falling down, to live in, but they gave us somewhere to live. And I did realize I had to start by absolute fundamentals, and that was to start praying every day and reading the Bible, which I'd sort of begun to do, but I didn't really commit myself to it. And I just thought, I have to take this to God because I can't work this out. So I began to pray every day and made that a commitment to my life. And through that process, began to change some behaviors which I had carried with me all my life. I mean, everyone has them to some extent, but you don't realize how important it is to clean and clear yourself until you're under such immense pressure that then you go, well, is God will accept us, but he also gives us the insight and the way to actually strengthen ourselves in the natural as well as the spiritual. So that was a practice which I started, and I've done it every day and you know, there's obviously tough times that everyone faces, and right now there are interesting situations, but that commitment and realization of how God rebuilds you. And I saw things happen over that period which were, as I said, completely illogical, were divine interventions, connections, opportunities, people walk back into our lives which brought answers. And the church was honest to God. I think you and the church, and I had friends like Tim Lowe step into the situation. Tim Foote helped me and give me some work, just little bits and pieces as well as massive things which change things. So the answers are in the church, because that's where your place is, and that's where you've been positioned to receive and to
come exactly
into your life. Yeah,
it's failure, like the feeling of failure, is a very humbling experience too, because once you were, you know, all of us have been through moments where once we were the guy and, you know, we were flying and high and whatever, and then suddenly it's gone. And I think learning the ability to change gear, and Paul, the apostle, said this, I've learned how to abound and how to be abased and to be content in every circumstance.
Yeah.
So that in spite, no matter what is happening in my world, if I remain connected and close to Jesus, I'm going to find myself in the richest fulfillment that life can offer, because my fulfillment is not on the things on the outside, it's on my relationship with Christ. So he was in prison when he was writing that, but he'd also been the biggest guy in town when he was in Jerusalem preaching, et cetera. And so the character development that happens in these times could not happen in any other circumstance. So my conclusion is that a trial is a handshake from God. It's a compliment to you, John. He's saying, you can take this. You'll get through this. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, God.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Thanks, Lord. Stop blessing me so much. Yeah, well, oh, okay, John. So you came through that, and you're. What did you do to start again? Because you'd lost everything. And I got to tell you, I remember talking with you sometimes, and you were saying, "Well, we're relying on God for our food," and you were getting food parcels on the on the front doorstep and things like that. And so you were really to come from that situation. What did you start to do to get back on your feet and to rename it the same name as you had before?
Yeah, well, the One Center, I got introduced through Tim in the church to an investor, and I went and had a chat to them, and I said, look, I could, I'm not going to get a job. Who's going to employ me? So I think I'll start again. And I also felt like that what had happened. I got calls from clients and all kinds of people as soon as it happened, or we made the announcement, to say there was no product failure, there was no this, that, ever, so we don't get it. And I said, well, it was just a financial failure that we had, and we were probably, we were pushing it, we were stretched, we were growing fast and leveraging that growth. But so what I did was I spoke to a potential investor, and they immediately said, well, you know, why wouldn't you go back out with the one center? I put that as a right and a left equation. And for me, there was a lot of emotion in that, because of what had happened, but also because of the ire that I'd received in the process. So resurrecting that business could have been an affront to a lot of people, because they would have thought I just sort of phoenixed it and coming back and burnt a lot of people in the process. So I knew that that would be an issue. But on the balance of it, and it wasn't out of pride, I think it was really out of a little bit of logic and a sense of justice, eventually, that I decided to go with the One Center. And we just started. I promise you, that time I was pretty zombic. So I just put one foot in front of the other. I had some core skills that I used, and I started out of a little apartment in Darlinghurst, and some miraculous things happened. I had a couple of clients come in, one of them from one of the world's biggest companies. They have been cut a check for $20 million to invest in the Australian market and drive their marketing. And they said, well, we want you to handle it and handle it for our global CEO. So I was almost saying, do you know what's happened? Are they going to be happy with that? Right. But they committed to do that. And then another person walked in who was also an old school friend, actually, who'd known me and worked with me previously, and asked me to work on some stuff, on some pretty big things for them. So it sort of got the ball rolling. And we just did what we did. You know, we had to adjust, obviously. We had a much smaller team. We outsourced a lot of things and reduced all our overheads and stayed very agile. But we got going. And, of course, the market started returning as well. Things were pretty tough. But things improved quite gradually. And for us, we got some momentum up, and then, you know, we hit a couple of roadblocks. And then since then, I mean, I bought the investor out a couple of years ago, which was a good decision because they were happy to do that and I was happy to do that. So there was no hard feeling there. And now we've rebuilt our customer base and gone international again. So we've got quite a lot of international clients. So the process was slow at the time and somewhat confusing. But in retrospect, I see a whole lot of, you know, you can see a lot of things that were provided in retrospect that you couldn't have seen at the time, and just incredible blessing and fortune. I think the one thing which was an important note in all of that was a guy who I respected, who ran a very, very big company overseas, who was a mate of mine, he'd been a client of mine, become a friend. I asked him, should I move overseas and just get out of town or go somewhere else and become, you know, have a new life? And he said, well, your network is really your business. So where's your network? And I said, well, it's probably in Sydney. And he said, well, you should stay here and, you know, face the music and deal with it.
Great point.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that people forget faster than you do. And I think now that we're in an economy where a lot of startups and venture and trial and risk-taking has now become part of the everyday. So I think we can sometimes be stuck in the failures that we made when other people move on and they accept that it's just a part of being in business, it's a part of being out there, and that you can sometimes start creating these worlds of restriction around yourself because of things that you've done in the past, you think people think about you, but they're phonies, really. And not that you want to go around burning people or trying things and whatever, but it's part and parcel of being out in the field, is taking a few knocks, getting hit. Sometimes you think you've broken a leg and can't get back up, but it's actually okay. You will get back up, and in fact, you'll get a bionic leg, and suddenly, you know, you'll start kicking a lot more goals again.
Right. You know, what would be, there's probably several lessons that you've learned out of that will help you in the future. Give at least one big lesson you've learned from the whole experience.
Yeah. I think the primary thing is relationships. And
wow.
I mean, in customer, in business and in all things, I think nurturing relationships and building relationships is absolutely critical. And right now, I think people are, I think the recovery, when we talk about the theme, one of the themes for today is how do people kind of recover through this thing, is that your recovery is really your client's recovery. So you've got to kind of shift gears somewhat when you're in a business situation, and to forget your problem and to focus on your client's problem, whether it's your customers who are distant from you or that somebody close in professional services. So I think the thing is that you can retract and connect and deal in your own pain and share all the issues that everyone, you know, you can get on a call and just talk about how bad things are and how bad things are for you. But I think that the main thing is, from my experience prior, and probably more so now because I have a little bit more perspective on it, is that by connecting with people and talking with people who are your customers, it's really, you've got to get into their worlds. You've got to focus on them, show empathy and understand what their problems are. Everybody in business has a unique set of problems, but in a way, knowing that is an important first step. So you've got to get in there, understand what their problems are. I think what that does is two things, is that you get into their same emotional space, you can map out what their needs potentially are, and you can start having ideas with them on how to find solutions. Now, in professional services, you know, talking with your customers, you know, business is a conversation. That's for certainly for us. But it's the same if you run a cafe or if you sell a product. You know, I was talking to Michael Klim, who's the Olympic swimmer last night. He's in Bali. He's got a skincare business. You know, he's got a multitude of issues because people aren't out in Priceline buying skincare anymore. So how does he sell it online, and all sorts of problems like that? But he's talking to his customers. He's so to try and understand what their problems are, and by doing that you establish and re-establish and energize a relationship. And then I think you start having ideas how you can help them reshape the way that they're doing, pivot their products, pivot the way that they distribute, pivot the way they're communicating. So that understanding is central to the pathway for yourself and them out of that situation. I think that's what I would say. I mean, is that the recovery that you want for yourself is really your client's recovery. So how do you actually begin that process?
That's fantastic. I mean, that's so obvious and yet so easily missed too. Mm. And I think that's the basis of running any successful business, is that it's the success of your clients is going to be the success of your business, or the satisfaction or the fulfillment of your clients is, it's not about what you are, it's about what you're helping them become. And in terms of doing anything differently, just before we get to that, the final question on helping people to position themselves for coming out of COVID-19, looking back into that situation, you know, sometimes I, in my debrief of everything that we go through, I think, what would I have done differently? In your situation, maybe it was the leveraging, the amount of cash flow to the expansion rate, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Managing that is always a tricky business. And in your world, marketing, PR, and that kind of thing is one of the first things businesses tend to take out of their line, out of their budget, you know, because and so it's in a fragile position continuously. So managing the loan ratio to that fragility as well. I guess there are a few things that you would have done differently. What main thing would you have thought, I should have done it that way or done it another way? Yeah.
I think it comes back to people. I think I would have surrounded myself with people who would ask questions about what I was thinking we should do.
That's so good.
Because I think particularly small business people are prone to a bit of hubris. So when things go well, they think it'll never end. And then when things go badly, they also think it'll never end. So you go on these kind of trajectories, which are either very up or very down. So, So having a council of people around you, which are soft counsel but also hard counsel. And by soft counsel, it's when you go for a run or a walk or have a coffee or whatever, catch up with somebody to talk about stuff, but also create a formal council. So you've got a group of people who you trust, but you also know aren't in your pocket, who can give you a straight, straight talk about some stuff to make sure and to check that your decisions aren't placing you in unnecessary risk, or it's right. not just a Saturday morning double espresso whammer of an idea which suddenly consumes you, but actually it's not a very smart idea in the balance of right. stuff. So we hate hearing, I think people generally, particularly people that want that are entrepreneurially driven or have a visionary or creative bent, it's very hard to hear, get that counsel, but you need to have it in a soft way and also a hard way where people can actually say, right. don't do it or no. That's important. And so it comes back to relationships. Again, not just supportive relationships in the sense that they're always going to back you, but people that will say, that's not a good idea. And these are the reasons why. And you just got to hear it and actually be prepared yeah. to set that up around you.
Well, all of us have blind spots and other people are our eyes in those areas. And to trust that fact that God creates divine connections that we're meant to bond with to help fulfill our purpose. I don't know of any purpose that God has ever given us that is to be fulfilled on our own. It's with a team. Just yeah. coming towards a close, John, and thanks for everything that you've been sharing.
Thank you.
The original question that I said we would ask towards the end is that how will people, business people, career people, professional people, best position themselves? And even, you know, your mums and dads with their mortgages and everything else, how will we best position ourselves to come out of this time, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, look, I think there's a couple of things which are going to be really important. As I said before, I think there's understanding of how, I mean, in a business context, understanding where our customers are at, formulating some products or flipping our services, pivoting things so that they're more relevant. You know, a coffee analogy would be, and this seems like a silly one, you know, you say, well, I sell coffee. Well, can you augment your coffee with an immunity element? You know, is there a story that you can yes. that you can create? If you're providing professional services, will it be a health check on an insolvency health check, you know, if you're an accountant or whatever, so that you can get in and actually tailor what you're doing for somebody else? And the other thing, I think there's got to be heart starters, which is, and I talk to my clients about this, which is reasons to go and talk to people which aren't just about, you know, trying to sell them stuff, but actually give forward and provide people with a deal, something which might be enticing, or just some opportunity for you to restart that relationship on a commercial basis, but do it in a way that's kind of culturally appropriate. So I had actually one of my wife who runs a shop, one of her clients, very good clients, is a psychologist. And Moni had said to her about something that had happened like a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, I got a text from this lady who I've had a conversation with, but not really known. She just said, look, John, I hear, if you ever want to talk to me, or if you ever want, you know, 15 minutes, obviously I'm not going to charge you, but whatever, have a chat to me. And I thought that was a really nice thing to do. I didn't need it at the time because it wasn't that serious. But I thought, well, she's established a basis of trust and understanding with me, which is just wonderful. And if I do feel like I ever needed to, I'd probably give her a call. So, you know, I think it's, you know, the give forward aspect of it at these times to create some heart starters, whether it's in a restaurant or a, you know, in a product services business or whatever, and just finding ways to bless people, really. And not just doing it in a way which you know you're going to get a return on, but actually do it with a level of integrity where if they didn't come around to buy something with you, you're going to sleep well on that as well.
Well, that's fantastic, John. You know, I think one of the great qualities that I've known about you is your generosity and your kindness in doing exactly what you said, you know, about the psychologist. I remember way back in the early days when you offered to create the gospel story that I'd painted, and the Gospel of John. the 24 hours that changed the world. And you, you just went ahead and printed that book for us and said, it's a gift. And you have been so generous in so many circumstances. I'm sure that that has been part of the key reason why you have actually found blessing coming back into your own world. We can't sow without reaping at some stage. John, can I ask you as we come to a close right now, that you, could you just pray for business people out there who are watching this and who will watch it throughout the next 24 hours on our feed? Thanks a lot.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together and just discuss the issues which are affecting us all. Lord, we know that each of us on this Zoom or this IG Live has particular issues, and we feel that sometimes we're alone. But Lord, we just we turn our minds faithfully to the knowledge and the truth that you know us intimately. You know our situations and all the complexities of it. And Lord, we just pray that you would pour out your answers, your blessings, your peace on us, each one of us. And today, Lord, that you would give us signs and answers and reassurances, even in the way that we feel through the presence of your Holy Spirit, to know that there is a pathway forward, that there is a way out of these situations, that there is a life and a purpose for all of this, which we can't possibly know now, but will come to bear fruit in the future, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Fantastic, John. Thanks very much.
Pastor
and
Phil.
I'm sure that all
Thank
of the
you.
People who have been jumped online will be deeply grateful for your words and your honesty and your vulnerability this morning. God bless
Thank you
with
Pastor
everything
Phil.
You put your hand to, you and Monica and your three kids.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Thanks for the session.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Thanks,
Bye-bye.
Everybody.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. And I'm looking forward to talking with you again next week. Once again, if you hit that subscribe button, we'll turn up in your email inbox every week, reminding you to listen in for fresh content and inspirational discussions, conversations, messages that we will be able to share together. Looking forward to talking with you again soon. God bless you.